Welcome back, everybody, to our Let's Talk Green County program presented by the Community State Bank in Peyton. This is Coltrane Carlson, and our guest today from Iowa's 4th Congressional District is our Congressman Steve King now joining us. So thank you very much, sir, for being on.
Oh, thanks a lot for having me, Coltrane. I always enjoy it.
Absolutely, Congressman King. And, of course, the second round of stimulus funding from the federal government has been passed through by Congress against COVID-19 impacts. And some of those highlights, of course, include stimulus checks for some Americans out there, as well as some unemployment benefits and the PPP program also kind of tied in there, along with some other parts of that bill, obviously. But again, what's your take as far as those additional unemployment benefits that people can start receiving? I mean, do you agree with giving $300 weekly unemployment benefits?
The things that are the most important is getting us all back to work. I mean, we just can't continue to borrow money from the Chinese and the Saudis and the American people to try to prop up an economy with, let's call it funny money, and think we don't have to pay the debt on this. The thing that gets us back on our feet is going back to work. And so I'm very interested in, need to construct a path on how we get back to normal. Then also the PPP program that provided loans for employers that kept their businesses open. We have found some money for that that was unused that gets rolled into this. I think that's an important component when you tell a business they can't run or you tighten up, write new regulations on it that make it far more difficult for them to make a living and a profit than it is up to the federal government to fill that hole that they've created by their regulations.
Well, another thing, Congressman King, a part of that COVID-19 relief bill is some funding dedicated towards the COVID-19 vaccine distribution. And of course, that has been kind of a solution that people have been hunting for all along, is let's get these vaccines out when they're readily available. Well, the time has come for that. Do you believe the federal government needs to be backing and giving some funds towards that end goal?
I want to say this emphatically, and I don't usually talk like this, but I'll say darn right it's the federal government's job to do that. The federal government has shut down this economy, and they've quarantined us, and of course our local jurisdictions have put masks on us and restricted our businesses and our activities and our travel. This nation has never had such a blow to its economy ever as what these draconian approaches have done in this approach to COVID. And I'm not taking a position that, you know, that none of that should have been done. I think some of it was a bit overboard, but we didn't know as much then as we know now. What's the best path to get this economy up and going at 100% of what it was before, to getting our lives back again? The best path is the quickest way to herd immunity. And we're on a slow path to herd immunity with the natural protection that one gets with the antibodies once one is affected. And I think we're far less afraid of contracting COVID now than we were in the early parts of this, because we've seen all around us what it does and the impact of it. It's still dangerous and it's still fatal for far too many. I want to accelerate this vaccine. I want to get it out to people. Yes, shipping it is one thing. Paying for it with federal tax dollars is completely logical to me, because if we invested these trillions of dollars in propping up the economy, can't we invest some billions of dollars in creating herd immunity so this economy can come back again and start to pay the taxes, to start to reduce our deficit, maybe one day get to balance and start to pay down our national debt? Yes, I think the vaccine and getting it distributed is the best investment of the money that we would be spending in reaction to this COVID pandemic.
Well, Congressman King, as President-elect Joe Biden has made a selection for his Secretary of Agriculture being Tom Vilsack, who is already the ex-Secretary of Agriculture, served in that capacity for 8 years under the Obama administration. I just want to know your thoughts about, you know, having Vilsack back in as Agriculture Secretary going forward into next year.
Well, of course, I have a long history with Tom Vilsack. We served in the Iowa Senate together back in the 90s. He is governor, me in the state Senate after that, and then he is Secretary of Agriculture and me in the United States Congress. So 8 years as the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, that's a stellar thing to accomplish. Most of those cabinet positions don't last a term, let alone two full terms. So this should be a seamless transition going to Tom Vilsack. You know, if we're going to have a Democrat as a Secretary of Agriculture, and it looks like if Biden is confirmed and sworn in on January 20th, that's going to be how it is. Tom Vilsack, I think, is a pretty good choice for a Joe Biden.
And so, Representative King, I understand that, you know, we've kind of slugged through this trade deal with China for quite some time here under President Trump. And of course, now we might have some turnover in the administrative level at the White House, but also with Secretary of Agriculture going from Sonny Perdue back over to Tom Vilsack. What are your thoughts about those continuing talks with China? Do you see those getting put on the back burner here as we flip over to next year, or do you see those kind of continuing to progress?
If I separate out the Chinese piracy of our intellectual property, and that's a number of about $600 billion a year, if one doesn't consider cyber theft, that's a huge deal. And the Chinese have been stealing America's creativity for years. And I've written legislation to fix that. It's been endorsed by the president, but not moved to where it needed to be. That was part of the negotiations that were taking place also with China. But one of the things that I've learned is, you know, we talk about master negotiators and how skillful our negotiators are. You don't get anything in negotiation just by being skillful. It takes leverage to do that. There has to be incentives to get that done. And so I think there are lots of trade issues that are going to be where President Trump has been trying to shut off the theft of U.S. intellectual property and the advantages that the Chinese have scraped out of American creativity over the last 20 years or so, or maybe more. I think a lot of that goes away. I think the Chinese will accelerate their theft of our intellectual property, and our ag trade will be, in a way, incidental to the broader trade negotiations, and that means the Chinese right now need pork. That's good for our pork producers. They're going to need some grain, and we're good. It's good for that. So I think that, on the end, agriculture is going to be okay, maybe even a little better off, as I might guess, into that crystal ball. I don't think agriculture is going to be hurt with trade negotiations in China. One of the things that's a plus out of this is we've opened up new avenues and new export markets for agriculture and much of U.S. manufacturing around China. I'd like to continue that, but I think it's going to be difficult if Biden is inaugurated.
And that's our guest for today's Let's Talk Green County program, here with our congressman for Iowa's 4th Congressional District is Steve King. Joining us for part one of our two-part series, Community State Bank in Payton is an independent, locally owned bank in business since 1956. Back with more here on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network.